Within the Milky Way, there are billions of stars. Among them, a star that shines brighter than the others, named Mira. Each year, our nation's leading tech individuals and companies come together for a night celebrating the best of tech in our state. We are all here to witness it and celebrate Indiana's standout entrepreneurs, innovators, and achievers.
The Mira Awards, Indiana's version of the Oscars of Tech, taking a Hollywood approach this year to honor Hoosier innovators and entrepreneurs. The new-look Miras celebrating 25 years, plus the state of technology in Indiana and challenges attracting talent. TechPoint President and CEO Ting Goody is my guest on this edition of the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. Hello and welcome to the Business and Beyond podcast. I'm Gary Dick. Well, Indiana's growing role in the tech space is certainly significant. The industry pumping an estimated $53 billion into the economy every year, with more than 120,000 tech workers statewide. One of the drivers into making Indiana an emerging tech hub, Indianapolis-based TechPoint, which is dedicated to expanding the talent pipeline and taking tech to a new level in the Midwest. And I am pleased to be joined on the podcast this week by TechPoint President and CEO Ting Goody. And Ting, it's always great to be with you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been almost 2 years since I joined this role, so super excited to be circling back and talk a little bit more about what we're pursuing from an economic growth perspective.
Yeah, 2 years and a lot has certainly happened. Certainly one of the marquee or the marquee event in the tech community, which is a TechPoint initiative, is the Mira Awards, the Oscars of Tech, if you will, in Indiana. Always been such a great event to honor innovators, entrepreneurs, tech professionals from throughout the state of Indiana. This is routinely year in and year out a sold-out event. It's typically been held at the JW Marriott in downtown Indianapolis, but this year, some big changes are in the works that could even multiply, if you will, that attendance. Ting, talk about the new Mira Awards, if you will, what they look like and why you're doing it.
Thank you, Gary. And you and your team have been such a strong supporter of Mira over the years. I remember watching, first and foremost, the Mira winners on your show and your side doing a live backstage interview for many, many years. We really see Mira as one of the best platforms that our state has to offer in terms of not only driving visibility into what's happening in tech, but what's more important, what's happening within tech and innovation across the state. That's why we're so, as you pointed out, we've been selling out almost every single year for the last decade now. And this year marked, in particular, the 25th year anniversary. This is a quarter of a century excellence. We always talk about community building to making it happening in decades. We want to mark this very specific milestone through really expanding the capacity, doubling the capacity, making the Mira Awards not only more visible across the state, but we're making more accessible. That's why we deliberately chose the new venue, Old National Center, which has a capacity to accommodate up to 2,400 people. Our intention is really to make it the biggest night, not only for tech, but for innovation for our state.
Talk about the format this year. So will there be multiple sites involved? How is it going to play out this year?
Yeah, Old National is more in line with Oscar style, theater style. We will not be having a sit-down dinner. That's why the location is important, because it is in the center of the creative and food scene at Mass Avenue. So our vision is really to make it a theater style gala show to be followed by after party. So there won't be any dinner served, but plenty of food option around the Mass Ave and around town. And come ready and hopefully have your dinner before afterwards and be ready to celebrate.
In terms of the attendance, again, this is always just an incredible crowd, 1,200 plus typically attend. How many people do you think may be able to attend now in this new format?
I believe we're going to fill the seats up to 2,400 people.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big event. You talk about celebrating, and this is a celebration, I think, of technology, and certainly on a statewide basis. Talk about the MIRA Awards and why this event is so important for the tech community in Indiana.
Tech is really embedded core competency in nearly every Indiana business, every community, and every company. And our vision is to try to transform Indiana from emerging tech hub into a national leader in digital innovation. And that's not just an aspiration, but really economic growth imperative, because tech is transforming all industries at a very accelerated pace. That's why we intentionally using MIRA, not only shining light on traditional tech startups, even tech companies such as Eli Lilly and Cummins and so on and so forth. We have this deep recognition more so than ever now. Tech has an opportunity to make it really a transformative force for our advanced sectors in our state. That's part of the vision around making MIRA the innovation platform, tech innovation platform for our community. That's why we have intentionally onboarded and expanded the theme from not just our own awards, but use this as a platform to celebrate other innovation awards that's happening in other key sectors in our state. For example, not surprisingly, Connexus Manufacturing Innovation Awards for the first time will be announced on stage at MIRA, and the intent is to make it a permanent piece of our MIRA platform, as well as the Hunger Tech Challenge that Agrinovis has been doing for 2+ years now. They have driving that corporate innovation around the agricultural technology adoption opportunities.
When you think about technology in Indiana and TechPoint and your efforts, I think the attention naturally focuses to the startup community and smaller companies, and that's obviously a very important part of it. But, and you mentioned it earlier, some of the big companies like Lilly and Cummins and others, and tech-enabled companies. So really, technology permeates all types and sizes of industries. Is that part of the message that you try to get out there at TechPoint?
You're spot on, Gary, in terms of when we think about tech traditionally, particularly in part because there's such a growth momentum in the tech startup community here in the last decade, we typically think about the tech in a very well-defined lens. As we think about 2023, for instance, speaking of acceleration of technology adoption, 2023 is known as a year of breakout year for AI. And we all know that artificial intelligence has been in development since the 1950s and 60s. We finally got the point, in part because of ChatGPT, the generative AI, a great number of hockey stick technology happening with the adoption of AI around the country and the globe, and also in this community. Yeah, this is super exciting in terms of what tech's role in terms of enable. We don't even use the word enabling, we're a tech-driven company, but literally in terms of a tech workforce, over 92% of today's workforce require digital skill sets, and over 90% of tech workforce actually work outside the core tech sector. Mm-hmm. So you think about the ramification, that number really backs up our hypothesis and our aspiration to say tech has such an important role, really uplifting everybody, every company, and every community in our state. And that, as I mentioned before, it is economic growth imperative because you're not looking to keep the tech is playing an instrumental role, not only to keep the existing industry competitive, but more importantly, to help us develop and create and grow the leading companies of the future.
You mentioned AI and the explosion now of artificial intelligence. What challenges, opportunities, changing realities, what does AI present to companies and organizations in the state of Indiana moving forward?
We have, under the Central Indiana Corporate Partnership leadership, as well as in conjunction with multiple organizations initiative within CITP, we recently conducted an AI adoption survey. Part of the intent of the survey, Gary, is to answer the exact question you're asking. How are we doing? How is AI adoption doing in general nationally? And how are we doing as a community? And the findings, the high-level findings, are very encouraging. The McKinsey study has been tracking AI adoption nationally and globally for over 5 years now. It has been, as of last year, the overall adoption has been somewhat plateaued in terms of around roughly 60%-ish as a very senior level of maturity in terms of enterprise-level adoption. Indiana as a whole, because there are such a deep embedded industry cluster around life sciences and manufacturing, will actually have Our overall adoption rate right now is hovering around 55%. This is over a paperless sample size. We're able to survey here. And more importantly, most of our companies have shown interest, deep interest in terms of driving more enterprise level and deep technology adoption to really drive the economic productivity growth overall. So we're very encouraged by the initial finding, and there's a lot more planned to do around education and peer groups and workshops and to drive deeper conversations.
Another big issue, obviously, not just for technology, but really across all sectors of the economy, is talent, traction, retention. I know that's a big focus at TechPoint as well. And I know there's a major initiative, Mission 41K. Talk about that, because I think some of the results maybe of that effort will be on display at MIRA. Talk about Mission 41K, what it's all about.
Yeah, Mission 41K is our flagship initiative. The goal is to add 41,000 tech workers by 2030, and that's in the backdrop of around 119 at the end of 2022, as we see here today. And it's important, like as we mentioned before, in terms of the tech sector, the increased role in terms of driving economic growth and productivity growth across all key sectors. And what does that mean is to go from our doubling our historical tech workforce growth for the annual 2.2%, roughly 2% to 4%. That's what we want to, we have a very specific goal. We want to put what does success look like by 2030 number out there and really use that as a driver to align all the stakeholders marching under the particular drum. And we have been successful, and I'm thrilled to say, at least according to the CompTIA report, from 2022 to 2023, our tech workforce actually has been growing around about 5%. So we've seen very encouraged by the initial result.
How critical is that effort for technology growth? You talk about the opportunities ahead for Indiana. The talent piece has to be just an absolutely critical part of that to keep people here, but also to attract new people into the state.
Absolutely. Across a full range of skills within the tech workforce, not only basic digital skills, they're also the leading edge skills. And those are growing the fastest, commanding the highest wage premiums. Cities and states was the largest concentration of those frontier leading edge skills, tech skills, really stand to define the future of tech talent's landscape, but also the economy. So that's why we found it so imperative to really plant the flag around our tech talent development strategy within the overall talent workforce development effort has been going on. And Gary, as you know, the foundational piece of a competitive economy, and almost all of our economy almost characterizing the tech economy now, is to have an ecosystem of not only talent, employers, entrepreneurs, education providers that are attuned, aligned within this rapidly developed landscape. AI, for instance, going to put a lot of pressure in terms of continued reskilling and upskilling work that all these leaders around all the stakeholder base I just mentioned are very acutely aware of. So we're collaboration and really a coalition building around long-term issue that prepare our state for the economy of the future has been Indiana's biggest strength, and we're very much so privileged to be part of that collective effort.
You look at the MIRA Awards as part of that talent attraction effort. I would imagine it has an impact, you know, that bringing together of the statewide technology community and with an event like this is something that would have a benefit or a positive effect on talent and talent attraction.
Yeah, the net migration, the new talent attraction retention, they want to know we have a community to support them, not only trenches, but they know the state is want to have the innovation branding. That's part of the branding and storytelling support. And our tech community historically has been very fortunate. We're able to capture a large share of the media attention, including particularly through a lot of effort through you, Gary, and team, in terms of what we're doing, even though we're relatively small, thinking about tech community on a standalone basis compared to manufacturing ed, but we're really telling it, kind of on the front edge of best storytelling through the help of our partners like yours.
As you look at the makeup of the technology community, and it will be reflected, I'm sure, at the MIRA Awards, really as a statewide, it's not just Central Indiana. Obviously, this is the business and political center of the state, but there's representation, obviously, in all corners of the state. How important is it to have, again, a statewide footprint when it comes to technology and technology development?
We view it as a really part of our growth initiative, or the pillar strategy. TechPoint historically has been, to your point earlier, has been very indie-centric, and this is epic center of all the startup and a lot of talent development opportunities. We have this recognition, in order to get to the 41,000 tech workers by 2030, we can't do it. We've been doing a really good job activating the indie market, but to grow that network and support network around the state will be instrumental. So this is, again, we view as part of the reason we really view Mira, not only it's a statewide platform, that's where we branded as Indiana's biggest night for tech and innovation.
As you look at the state of the technology sector in Indiana, give us your take on where things stand now as we're well into 2024. What's the health, the state of the technology sector in Indiana?
We're very encouraged by the momentum. As we all know, the momentum building is not a 1 year, 2 year endeavor. It's literally decades in the building. That's why this year's Mira, with the 25th year, marking the 25th year, to me is very, very important in that sense, recognizing the 25 years of building that got into this particular tech innovation community. And also recognizing the last 2 years has been representing some challenges and the market uncertainty in the macro landscape perspective, which has direct effect entire tech community, all the technology adoption, the rapid AI adoption that's presents some really the rapid need for talent upskilling and reskilling. There's the labor workforce restructuring that was going on from big coast to startups, and the venture landscape, which is a super important piece to our tech startup scene here, has been somewhat rough, right? Indiana tech investment in 2021 and 2020-21 really hit a high water mark around almost $1 billion invested on an annual basis. In the last couple of years, according to our data, has been roughly around $200 million. So the drop, again, in par with the national landscape, has in effect a lot of entrepreneurs and founders who's going through the very difficult journey. But we are seeing momentum. Sometimes we own the biggest tech breakout companies tend to be created when there's market disruption or market uncertainties. If you look at the creation of Facebook, LinkedIn, all the way back to Google during the bubble.com era, and we're really having a lot of opportunities. And I know a lot of founders and entrepreneurs and tech executives really hunkering down and trying to leverage the opportunities that were presented in front of them. For instance, speaking of momentum, Burning Glass Institute recently in 2023 ranked Indianapolis in the metro area as the top 17 in terms of tech worker growth momentum. And PitchBook, which is a flagship database provider on the private equity side, ranked Indianapolis as the global top 15 global VC ecosystem by growth. We really are seeing a lot of growth momentum. So I think the technology professionals, leaders, and founders who can really take advantage of market opportunity now and proceed through some of the rough times and really come out much stronger.
As you look going forward at opportunities for Indiana, made me think when you're talking about technology and STEM-related kinds of workers, what, in your view, will the new IU Indianapolis, Purdue and Indianapolis structure do for technology? Because certainly from both schools, technology, STEM-related workers, a big focus of that, putting more and more of those students and ultimately graduates in downtown Indianapolis. What do you think the impact's going to be there?
Wow, can't really underestimate the impact there, because that really direct two things. One is a direct brand visibility in terms of then drawing the research and technology capabilities, further setting Indianapolis part as a leading urban area for our tech innovation community for our state. But more importantly, the direct connectivity between employers and education providers. And this is having been on the ground level, working with the community partners, trying to be the community partner to make the magic happen between talent and opportunities. I think this both from an employer and education provider perspective, now they have a direct line of connectivity to do that. And that physical proximity really matters.
Well, Tang, as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Inside Indiana Business has been a strong supporter of the Mira Awards for many years. And we wanted this week to share some interviews with some of the winners from last year, 2023. starting with the first Hoosier entrepreneur to win two MIRA Awards 2 years in a row, New Albany-based RX Lightning CEO Julia Reagan.
Thank you. We're very, very honored and very privileged to be among amazing founders and companies.
Well, let's talk about RX Lightning. First of all, give us the kind of the business model, what RX Lightning is all about.
So RX Lightning is truly trying to help patients who are on high cost medications that are used to treat life or death situations like cancer and others to get their medicines quicker and in a more affordable way. We connect the doctor and the patient and other people around the ecosystem to try to help the patient navigate the challenges that happen with the ultimate goal of getting them on medicine to treat that life-saving condition, the medicine as quick as possible.
Talk about the need for this, for these, the access and the connection for these specialty medications.
So when you look at it, everybody knows somebody that is impacted with a medication that could mean life-saving, life extension, and for me, it's extremely personal. I know several people close to me that have been diagnosed with diseases that could mean a matter of life or death, and it's really hard to sit back as a person in innovation and healthcare to know that delays just happen. And I think the healthcare system needs to do better. And RX Lightning was built to create a technology solution to try to do better and help patients get on meds quicker.
In terms of the product launches, Med Access ecosystem, that's the product. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the simplest form, not to dilute it to something insensitive, but if you think when we all love pizza as Americans, we order pizza regardless of which pizza company we like, we truly could track that. Mm-hmm. And we know where it is from start to finish and delivery. For these medications, say a cancer patient that's diagnosed with that life-threatening disease, they don't know when they could start their treatment. And what RX Lightning has done is create a technology that allows the provider and the patient and other individuals to see step by step, because it's complicated. Mm-hmm. It's not easy as ordering a pizza, but there's many steps across the process, and we create a tracker like that pizza tracker for the patients to understand what's going on and when they'll be able to actually start their treatment to allow some alleviation around what is going on and when will I be able to start this, and give them hopefully some sort of peace of mind that some help is coming and that they'll be okay on the other end of it.
And the exceptional employer award winner this year at the MIRA Awards is Qualify, an Indianapolis-based company, a phone screening platform for high volume hiring. Darian Michael is the CEO of the company, and it's good to see you back. I saw you last year. You got the Rising Entrepreneur last year. This year, it's the Exceptional Employer. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I just like shaking your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's good stuff. You're doing great things, obviously. Talk about the things you're doing at Qualify, because I know culture is really kind of at the heart of your business. And that, I think, was in large part the reason behind the Exceptional Employer Award.
Yeah, I take a ton of pride in this. Obviously, I was here last year, but I think this is the award that I care about the most, just being recognized as a great team. My favorite part of being an entrepreneur is being able to build a team and seeing how people are thriving as individuals on the team. So it's been really fun.
Talk about some of the core principles, because I know diversity is a big issue. You've been able to attract a diverse team, and I think through give us also the model, because you're helping companies hire people, and that diversity piece on that comes through as well.
Yeah, it's through and through. So one of our core values is diversity as an advantage. We started with four co-founders, three of us are Black, and we take a ton of pride in that, especially here in the Midwest, here in Indiana. We want to kind of be a beacon for that. So as we build our team, but also as we live out our product, we want to showcase that. So we help people hire, and we do so through essentially a blind phone screen. So we help automate that, keep it structured so every candidate gets the same experience to make it a bit more objective in that screening process.
Talk about business. How's business going? Where do you see growth opportunities?
Yeah, we're continuing to grow. We tend to focus on high volume industries. Generally, that's kind of mid-size, so mid-market to enterprise level companies that are you know, lean recruiting teams, but have to really ramp up and scale up their hiring. And so hospitals, healthcare systems have been really great for us. Retail and folks with call centers have been really great for us as well. But we generally can kind of help any hiring demands that you might have.
Has one of the kind of fallouts from the pandemic, people are getting more use technology maybe at an easier level. Has that helped your business?
Yeah, it has. So we started around 4 years ago. And one of the things that, you know, we knew the idea would be great for recruiters, but we knew that candidates had to be receptive to it as well. And we've had really great adoption on both ends, partially because of the pandemic. I think people are used to interacting with technology in their everyday lives. And this is no different. So it's been, you know, good to see that reception.
Well, a startup of the year this year, the 2023 Mira Awards, is Exana, a company based in West Lafayette, coming out of innovation at Purdue University. David Yang is a hardware engineer and employee number one, right, at Exana?
Yeah, correct.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, fascinating technology and innovation at Exana. You said in the simplest terms, you're a computer chip company. Explain that.
Yeah, we're a computer chip company. I mean, you've heard of Wi-Fi, you've heard of Bluetooth. Those send data between devices wirelessly. We do the same thing, but we work around the body.
Explain that, because as we were talking off camera here, you had some great examples.
Yeah. So right today, if you want to send data, let's say you buy a pair of earbuds from the store, right? They're Bluetooth, right? You'll send data from, let's say, your phone to those earbuds. That's using radio. Our technology is a little bit different than radio. And what really sets us apart is we can do it at about 100 times lower power than conventional Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. And when you get to those really low power numbers, you can really enable a lot of cool applications. Your battery life extends. You can slim down these devices that we're wearing. You've seen the big augmented reality glasses. You have the option of making it big or connecting a wire to it. Around the body, our technology can replace those wires entirely.
Wow. And you mentioned, you know, medical applications like pacemakers.
Yeah, definitely a possibility. You know, devices that need to communicate around the body can now do it for a lot longer of a time. Pacemakers being an example of that, right? And that's something that maybe you would need to replace every 10 years at this point with how long that you can run on the current battery. Mm-hmm. But if you use our technology to communicate with it, it may be possible to go much longer.
Wow. And talk about this technology, the idea. It came out of Purdue, you know, another great example of innovation coming out of our state. Talk about how it was, how it happened.
How it happened?
Yeah.
That was a great question. So our CTO, Shreya Sen, was at Intel Labs doing research on USB-C, kind of something we all know today. And the problem he was dealing with was that when two wires came too close to each other, and he put his hand near it, the wire started talking. So from that problem that he solved for a completely different, you know, yeah, technology even, he had the idea to look into this, into making things really low power with the help of you.
Wow. The timing of Exana, the company, it launched a couple of years ago, but with things like the CHIPS Act, we're seeing a lot of investment in innovation. Semiconductor businesses looking at Indiana, investing in Indiana, including at Purdue. Does that kind of play in very nicely with where Exana is?
Yeah, what an amazing opportunity. I mean, we were researching circuits at Purdue and building our lab all around circuits and eventually our company 2 years ago. And we're definitely kind of riding that wave.
Those just some of the winners from last year's Mira Awards 2023. Ting Goody, it's been a treat catching up with you. And for Mira Awards number 25 this year in 2024, we look forward to yet another great event. And thank you for joining us on this episode of the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. It's a weekly conversation with achievers in business, sports, entertainment, and beyond, and you can download it at Apple or wherever you find your podcasts. This is Gary Dick. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.